My Republican friends believe that the economy will grow if we just give more tax breaks to millionaires, billionaires, and the largest corporations in America. They refer to this top 1% as the makers or the job creators, and that they insist that if we just rub their bellies just right, deregulating markets and slashing taxes and all of these nice things for the wealthy and the powerful, that we can coax them into building an economy that will work for everyone. That's called trickle-down economics. Bend over backwards for the rich and the powerful, and when you give them their tax breaks, you deregulate, let them destroy the environment, my God, they're going to create all these jobs for working families. That is what the first George Bush referred to as voodoo economics. He was right then, and that expression is right today. Mr. President, I am sure that you have seen the Kevin Costner movie Field of Dreams. And these supply-side arguments, these trickle-down theories, are the economic equivalent of the Field of Dreams. The Republicans tell us that all we have to do is to build a friendly tax and regulatory environment, and the quote-unquote job creators will come. They tell us that we just have to get the quote-unquote incentives right, and the wealthy will create all the good jobs that we need. They tell us that if we build the rich a better playing field, the jobs will come. That is the mantra of supply-side economics, of the trickle-down theory. If you build it, they will come. Now, the only problem with that theory, it has been tried, and the evidence is overwhelming that it has failed. Since 1980, Mr. President, we have seen the marginal income tax rate, the top marginal income tax rate, plunge from 70 to 35%. The wealthiest people wanted a reduction in their marginal tax rate. They got it. The corporate income tax rate dropped from 46 to 35%, although, by the way, very few corporations pay 35%. But they did get a reduction in the corporate tax rate. And taxes on capital gains fell from 28 to 15%. We have deregulated the airlines, deregulated telecommunications, deregulated energy, and maybe most significantly and most disastrously, we deregulated Wall Street. We did all of the things that the wealthy and the powerful wanted us to do. But instead of unleashing the job creators and ushering in a new golden age that benefits all people, the supply-side gimmicks brought us widening inequality and greater financial instability. In other words, these experiments failed. They failed. Our economy has become more unstable. The distribution of wealth and income has become more unequal, and it takes the system longer and longer to claw back the jobs that are lost each time we suffer a recession.
Trickle-down and millionaires. Now, the attack on this theory, which has been tested and shown to work. President Obama, in December of last year, the market will take care of everything, they tell us. Jobs and prosperity will eventually trickle down to everyone else. In April of this year, during the Bush years, the wealthy got wealthier, but prosperity sure didn't trickle down. In July, this past summer, Barack Obama, we've tried it their way. It didn't work. We were told that prosperity would start at the top and then trickle down, close quote. Where does this phrase trickle down come from?
Oh, I don't know. It was as far back as the Roosevelt administration. There is absolutely an incredible thing. There is a non-existent theory that is constantly being attacked. Some years ago, in my newspaper column, I challenged anybody to cite any economist outside of an insane asylum who had ever made that argument. Nobody ever came up with a single person.
So when Barack Obama says in this past July, quote, we were told that prosperity.
Asked him
would,
who told him.
Nobody told him.
Nobody
no
told him.
No economist has ever held that. No politician has ever said it.
I don't know of anybody who's ever said it. In fact, when I put this out and I went out a nationally syndicated column, various people wrote me and said, well, so-and-so said that, so-and-so said it. Find me the person who said it. I don't want to hear how A said that B said. Find me B and show me where he said it. And that was years ago. Not one example has been offered.
All right. So trickle-down economics is not a political theory. It is a political, I beg your pardon, it's not an economic theory. It is a political hack phrase used.
It's a caricature.
Caricature.
Yeah. In other words, the argument really is not that that you should put more money in the hands of the wealthy. It's also part of a zero-sum conception of the economy. There's the thought that if you cut the tax rates on the rich, why then there'll be less taxes for the government, or you'll have to raise the taxes on other people to make up the difference, or cut programs and so forth. So that I hear all the time. It drives me crazy.
So what about this notion, George Bush, it was a giveaway, that George Bush cut taxes on the rich, and if he had not done that, the budget would be much closer to balance. He was just giving it away.
Yes, but in the paper, I point out where the New York Times itself says, you know, there's been an unexpectedly large increase in tax revenues from the wealthy and from corporations, which has reduced the projected budget deficit. And the question, yes, expectations are in the eyes of the beholder.
Unexpected by the New York Times.
Unexpected by the New York Times, exactly. All right. But that's exactly what people have been expecting for more, at that point, three quarters of a century, and which has been happening, and the New York Times just chose not to understand it.
First is the freedom dividend, where every American adult would receive $1,000 free and clear, no questions asked, every month to pay your bills, invest in your families, start new businesses, and do what you want to do, because you know how best you would use that money. Already right now, 31% of Iowans are working full time and cannot make ends meet, and 59% of our fellow Americans cannot pay an unexpected $500 bill. They are living paycheck to paycheck, week to week, and you know that is the reality for many of your friends and neighbors. And we can change that. We can give Americans a raise. So many of you might think, wow, that sounds phenomenal, too good to be true, but I want to give you some background in history. A law almost exactly like this passed the House of Representatives in 1971 under Richard Nixon. Martin Luther King was for it. 1,000 economists signed a letter saying this would be great for the economy and society. And a plan just like this has been in effect in one state for 36 years, where it has created thousands of jobs, helped improve children's nutrition, and lowered income inequality. And what state is that? You may or may not know. Yeah, it's Alaska. And they use oil money. And I'm going to ask you all today, Democrats of Iowa, what is the oil of today? Technology. That's right. That is the oil of today. So my plan, the Freedom Dividend, would put $16 billion into the hands of Iowans every year so that you could pay your bills and do everything that you would do with $1,000 more per month, and it would create over 40,000 jobs in Iowa immediately. Now, this is a very, very big plan and a big move, but it's something that we can achieve because, again, you determine the future of this country, and we need to build an economy that actually puts human goals and values front and center, invest in our people, and build a trickle-up economy. The Republicans have been selling that trickle-down garbage for decades, and we know it doesn't work at all. They even know it doesn't work. They know it's nonsense. So we're going to build a trickle-up economy from our people up, our families up, and our communities up. And that's the first big move I'll make as president.
If you Google trickle-down economics, you are only going to get the failures of trickle-down economics. That's because it's a term that was not coined by the right. It was a term that was coined by the left. The right calls it supply-side economics. Look up supply-side economics on Google, and you will come up with a myriad of examples in which supply-side economics has worked. Supply-side economics is the idea that if you give producers back their money, they're going to produce new and better products, and that generates its own demand. Supply generates its own demand, basically. So if you generate cheaper product, not crap nobody wants to buy, but if you make product cheaper and better, people will want to buy it. If you invent new products, that changes the way people live. Everybody wants to buy it. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, nobody ever heard of an iPhone. Now everyone has one. That's because of supply side. Apple created a product. You wanted the product. You went out and bought the product. What the left likes is what they call demand-side economics. Demand-side economics is the idea that if you give a bunch of money to a bunch of people, that they'll spend that money and that will jog the economy. It won't jog the economy in the sense of making people's lives better generally, because the products aren't going to get any better. Right? The point being that, here's the great distinction. If you have $1 million, do you give it to, let's say that all else is equal, right? Nobody has $1 million. We're not talking about equality now. We're just talking about jogging the economy. We're talking about efficiency. You have $1 million. Do you give $1 million to Bill Gates to invest in the building and invention of new product? Or do you give $1 million, $1 to a bunch of people so they can go spend it on a burger? Which is going to make the economy better? The answer is you give $1 million to Bill Gates. The reason is that Bill Gates is then going to create a product that makes everybody's life better. That will create a bunch of new jobs in a growing area where people are opting for the product. That's not a case for impoverishing people, of course. But the point that I am making is that producers, businesses, change the economy at disproportionate levels. Right? So supply-side economics has generated success after the JFK tax cuts, generated economic success after the Reagan tax cuts in 81, generated economic success after the Bush tax cuts of 2001. There was sustained economic growth. People tend to forget this because of the crash in 2007, 2008. I mean, even Barack Obama maintained low tax rates in 2010 and 2013. So supply-side economics does indeed work. It's worked in Europe. It's the reason why Denmark, for example, is now cutting its own taxes. That's why European countries that have spent too much money are cutting their own taxes. So don't Google trickle down. It's a nonsense term made up by the left. The idea would be that people at the top of companies are just going to give the money to their employees. That's not correct. That's not how trickle down works, right? Supply side means that you're creating new products and services, and in the course of doing so, it creates jobs.